one of the summer field education seminarians here for the summer. I am so excited to be here at Broad Street and to be preaching for all of you today. I have been here for about 3 weeks, a little bit longer, and I have loved every minute of it so far. All of you that I have met, those of you that I haven't, I'm very excited to get to meet you. So let us pray together. God of the margins and in between, I pray that you would be with us today and that you would be pleased with the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. One year ago tomorrow, I sat on my couch, staring at the television, speechless and in tears, wondering where God was. It was an early Sunday morning, and the reason for my tears was the unspeakable act of violence at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. When I initially received the notification of a mass shooting that morning, I am sad to say that my reaction was not very strong. It wasn't that I didn't care, and I wouldn't mourn for the victims and the families, but I had almost become desensitized. As the news continued to break, and the number of those who had lost their lives continued to grow, I watched in horror. It wasn't 10 minutes after I had woken up that morning that I learned that many of the people who had been killed identified as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or somewhere else outside of the heterosexual binary. I instantly felt a connection with them because I knew how easily it could have been me. Many of them were young and had been in one of the few places that they felt safe from fear and oppression, one of the few places that provided them with sanctuary and the opportunity to be themselves. As the day went on, I spent most of it alternating between crying, numbly laying still, and angrily watching as the narrative of the reporting started to shift to one that demeaned and blamed our Muslim sisters and brothers and completely ignored the hatred that had just been committed against my community. Later that evening, I attended a vigil in my hometown and it was hosted by a local Episcopal church and a local Muslim student center. During this service, we spent most of our evening lamenting and crying to God for the loss experienced and for the fear that many of us were feeling. We filed out of the church and down the street singing songs like Amazing Grace and other songs of comfort and empowerment. Next, we gathered in the middle of Fayetteville, Arkansas, and stood there in solidarity with each other and many others across the nation and world to show that we were not going to let fear and hate win. That this moment was not the end of our story. And this is where we find the disciples in our passage from Scripture today. Standing together on a mountain, full of emotion and full of doubt. They have experienced the existential crisis that all of us have, in which they wonder what the story of their life will be. They have just come through a tumultuous and confusing time in which they watched their friend and teacher die. And yet now, here he is, standing before them. They're so excited and amazed that they worship, but all of that doubt and that fear is just something that they cannot shake. While they worship, they wonder, is this the end of our story? And so Jesus looks to them and he tells them, guys, I've shown you what your story should be. I've told you to love God and love your neighbor. I showed you that hope is found when you sit and eat with people you wouldn't want to wave to. I've showed you that everything that you thought is impossible can happen. Don't worry about your story. You know that. What you need to do now is share it. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus alternating between telling his disciples about the kingdom of God and showing them what that kingdom is. His disciples were his inner circle, a specially chosen group of individuals who were willing to leave their families, their friends, their careers, and any sense of security that they had known to follow and learn from Jesus. And now we see Jesus telling them that they are ready to extend their knowledge out to the rest of creation. But with one key difference, their inner circle consists of everyone. It is to the inner circle of all that the disciples are told to share the greatest commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, because as Jesus taught us, it is on these two that all else finds its foundation. And what we see in Jesus extending the inner circle is the fruition of God's plan from the beginning in Genesis 1. In this first creation narrative, we see God bring forth a spectrum of order from chaos. This creation, while it was spoken into being, was not forced, but it was allowed to come forth through God's word and with the sweeping of God's Spirit. God's grace has been apparent from the beginning, as every piece of creation was called good and very good. Though along the way there is misunderstanding, hatred, violence, and sin, God's grace is bigger because God's grace is the beginning of the story. But in the face of violence and prejudice like we encounter in places like Orlando, to speak of violence, to speak of love and grace so quickly, just makes me angry. In times like this, our cynicism forces us to sit down and look at the world and wonder, where is God? Where is peace? And looking back now, that day 1 year ago was a wake-up call for me. For so much of my life, I have seen similar acts of violence in the media, so much so that when I saw that notification that morning, I didn't break down. I didn't cry. It was not until I connected with the victims and saw them as a part of my inner circle that I began to feel the fear and the pain that I experienced. But with each act of mass violence that I have seen in the past year, I think back to how I felt that day. I feel empathy for all those who are affected both directly and indirectly. I think of how anyone who connects with the victims wonders if they will be able to continue their story. Our doubt and the anger and fear that accompanies it mirrors what the disciples were feeling on that mountain in Galilee. In this moment of uncertainty, the disciples were not scolded for their doubt. Instead, they worshiped and were given reassurance. It was in this moment that God's grace sustained them. In the same way that God's grace was the beginning of all creation in Genesis, it is this grace that gives us the strength and the power to not give in to hatred and violence. It is God's grace that allows us to not give up. Friends, in the same way that the disciples did not allow their story to end on that mountain, we need to do the same. We need to take opportunities like this anniversary to lament and remember the fallen as the beautiful and queer creation of God that they were. In doing this, we are remembering our common creation by grace and showing that we will obey and teach God's greatest commandment. And we follow the commission that was given to us on that mountain. And we continue to bring the world, every single piece of it, into our inner circle. Amen.